Bible, if you would, please, and turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We have just finished Daniel, and we're going to consider one last thing from this book. We have spent the last several weeks in the last half of Daniel, and a little bit relieved almost, because it's really hard to understand. Daniel chapter 7 through 12 tell us a lot about the visions that Daniel received. We have those stories, that true stories that Daniel was involved in chapters 1 through 6, but Daniel was a prophet. Daniel received these visions, and they had to do with the control of God over human history, both past and future. And we looked at chapter 12 last time, the last chapter, and that was all about the Great Tribulation, and Daniel getting some insight about what would happen in that period. But an important question that has been in my mind, maybe it's been in your mind too, as we've considered these last chapters of Daniel, is where are we? Where are we in these chapters? Where is the church? And, are we going to go through this? We looked at the Great Tribulation, and are we going to go through that? What I'd like us to consider tonight is what Daniel gives to us in chapter 9. We're going to go back there to that 70 weeks prophecy and look at the final week here, the final week that God gives here. And the question is, where are we for that 70th week? We're coming in here to the summer season, and we might hope it might slow down for some of us for the summer, but the reality is it's really busy. And so let's say I come up to you after the service and I say, where are you going to be on July 15th? And you might say, well, I don't know. I'll have to look at my calendar, and I'll tell you where I'm going to be on July 15th. And or July 16th, where are you going to be, Lillian? Because that's your birthday, right? And we have a calendar probably on your refrigerator at home or somewhere else, and you look at that and say, that's where I'm going to be. I got everything planned out there. And in Daniel chapter 9, you remember that God gave to Daniel a calendar. He revealed to him a calendar for his people. And that calendar was not your usual calendar. It was a calendar made up of 70 weeks. And those weeks were not your usual weeks. In a week, there's usually 7 days. But we found that in those weeks that God gave to Daniel, there were 7 years in each of those weeks. And the Hebrew word we looked at, Shabuah, 70 Shabuah. And what does Shabuah mean? It means seven. And so Lillian, actually, she's going to be turning Shabuah. And so she's going to be Shabuah years old, seven. And that word just means seven. And the best way to interpret that word that's translated weeks is, 70 weeks of years, 70 periods of 7 years. And so Daniel was given that calendar, and we learned all about what would happen in that period of time. Is a prediction of the work of the Messiah here. Then we come up to the end of verse 26, Daniel 9, 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, not for himself. There we have a clear reference to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So there we have a prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. And then we have a gap of time between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week in God's calendar. And we have that description of the 70th week given to us in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What I'd like for us to consider tonight is three aspects of that 70th week that will help us to answer the question, where are we for the 70th week? And the first aspect here is the subject of the 70th week. We're going to look at the subject of the 70th week, and then secondly, the beginning of the 70th week, and then thirdly, the nature of the 70th week. And I think as we understand each of those aspects of the 70th week, we'll be able to answer the question, where are we for that 70th week? So first of all, the subject of the 70th week. You know, the subject of the 70th week is the same as the subject of the 69 weeks as well. And that's given to us very clearly in Daniel 9:24. If you look at that again, God says to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. You know, the future events that are given to us in Daniel chapter 7 through 12 really, for the most part, have the same subject, same focus. And that's clearly identified here in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Israel. Daniel's people is Israel. And Daniel is praying, remember, at the beginning of chapter 9 about his people. In verse 20, he says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. So Daniel is thinking all about Israel, his people. And so God comes to Daniel and gives him a calendar that's all about Israel. Those 70 weeks, period of 490 years, that's all about what's going on with Israel. I think that's pretty clear. And we could go on and see how that's true, that 70 week really is all about Israel. We talked about going to the doctor this morning. And so let's suppose that you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I have a funny feeling. And I get the feeling that Israel and the church are not the same. And imagine the doctor say to you, I think I know what the issue is here with you. I think this is a very clear case of dispensationalism. I think what you have is dispensationalism. And, maybe you've heard that term before, dispensationalism, but Pastor Gossman this morning in Sunday school was talking about his outline from Charles Ryrie, and Charles Ryrie is a man who's written a lot about that. And he says that a dispensation is a distinguishable economy in the outworking of God's purpose. And, you know, that's what dispensationalism is. It's recognizing that God was working in different ways at different periods of time in history. And one of the distinguishing characteristics of dispensationalism is Israel and the church are not the same. Israel and the church are distinct. Call it whatever you want. I think it is a teaching of the Bible. And I want to point a couple passages out to you. Turn, if you would please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We looked at this on Wednesday night some weeks ago as we're going through Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 25, actually Paul even uses the word dispensation there, talking about the church whereof he says, I am made a minister, Colossians 1:25, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so here we have some more of the distinguishing characteristics of the church. The church is described here as a mystery. Does that mean that somebody has murdered somebody and now there's a mystery that needs to be solved? No, that's not what the word mystery means in the Bible. It just means that there is something that has been previously hidden but is now revealed. And that's what the church is. The church is a mystery, not revealed in the Old Testament, but now revealed. The church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. We see that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It says there, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's one of those images of the church. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And so we see that the character of the church is different from Israel. It includes both Jews and Gentiles. The church also has a distinct time. Remember the promise that Jesus made to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Jesus speaking there before the time of the church was in existence. He makes a promise about something he'll do in the future. I will do this. And so we see that it is distinct in the aspect of its time as well. Also in Romans chapter 9, one final passage I'll allude to here, but the Apostle Paul speaks about national Israel here, and he makes a distinction between national Israel and the church. He's burdened about Israel. Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. So what is Paul doing there? He's talking about the burden that he has for his brothers, the Israelites. And he is referring to them as distinct. They are not the church. They're a distinct group. They were given promises of God. Those will be fulfilled in the future. But we see in many different ways that the church is not Israel. Now, what does that all have to do with the 70th week? What it has to do with is that the subject of the 70th week is Israel, just like the subject was for all the 69, all of them together, the subject is Israel. And the church is not Israel. We see that in the scriptures. It's distinct from it. And so it's reasonable to believe that the church will not be present on the earth for that 70th week. The subject of that 70th week, all the 70 weeks, is Israel. It's not the church. And so there's one major reason to believe that we will not be on the earth for that time period. Now, I want you to consider the beginning of the 70th week. We've looked at the subject. It's Israel. Let's look at the beginning of the 70th week. Now, we see here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that there is an event that begins that final week. Look at Daniel 9, 27 again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the 1 week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So what is it that begins the 1 week period here, the final period of 7 years? According to Daniel 9:27, it is the confirming of a covenant. The confirming of a covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. The starting of that agreement, that is the start of the final week here. Now, I want to ask you to turn, if you would please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here in this passage, Paul addresses one of the concerns of the Christians at Thessalonica. Some of the people thought that they were living in the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period here. And Paul proceeds to tell them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that it will not happen until certain events take place. And one of those is the revealing of the man of sin, the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, for that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So Paul is saying that that tribulation period, that 70th week, will not come before the Antichrist is revealed. Just like it says in Daniel 9:27, that final period begins with the revealing of that Antichrist, his making of a covenant here. That's the beginning of the tribulation. But there's something else that is restraining that from happening here. And we see that also in this passage. Look at verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So there's something here that is preventing the revealing of the Antichrist, of the one who makes that covenant with Israel. And what is it, verse 7? He who now letteth will let. And it seems that probably the best interpretation of that is that it is the Holy Spirit present in the church, the Holy Spirit's influence through the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who is restraining things here in the world so that that man of sin is not yet revealed. Only when they are taken away will that 70th week begin. And now that leads us to how that will happen. And let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When my wife and I were first married, we were living in Greenville, South Carolina, and there was a grocery store. I think I might have talked about it before there, but there was a grocery store in Greenville that was called Save More, and they had a interesting thing that they would do some Saturday mornings. The grocery store somehow got a hold of all kinds of food that was, I don't know, most of it expired. Yeah, it's kind of like the Benton Dent stores. If you've been to the Amish Benton Dent stores, that type of food. And they put it all in the parking lot of the store. And they would have a sale there on Saturday mornings. But it was at a particular time. And so people would line up around the edge of this food. And, it would start at 9 a.m. or something on Saturday morning. And they would make the announcement, "All right, go!" Everybody would rush into the food. and you know, you'd have a box, and you would just pick it all up, throw all the food you could into this box, and you know, people climbing over top of people trying to get the best stuff, and then it was like $5 a box, you know, for everything you could fit in there. You know, what we were doing with that food was we were snatching it up, and we were rapturing it, okay? And, you know, that's the idea of the word that, you know, we refer to as rapture here. And that comes from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Here in this passage, we see that one day in the future, God will come and quickly snatch up all Christians from the earth. There are a couple of passages that tell us about this. John 14, 1 Corinthians 15 is another one, but this is really the main one. And the term rapture comes from the Latin translation of the Greek word for caught up in verse 17. That's what we're referring to here. And we're told of what will happen at this particular time. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So this is an event here for all true Christians, for the church. And we are told that at this event there will be a resurrection. We are told that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive at this time, true Christians that are alive at this time, will be caught up together in the clouds. And it will be very quick. Paul says in the 1 Corinthians passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, Christians will be raptured, caught up. And we see here that Paul himself was even looking for that event. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Even when Paul was writing this, he had the expectation that it could come in his day. He was looking forward to that time when he would be caught up together with them in the clouds. It's given to us as a tremendous comfort to know that the dead in Christ shall rise and will be caught up together with them. But the rapture comes before the revelation of the Antichrist. And so we see that from the beginning of the 70th week here. So the beginning of the 70th week, the subject of the 70th week, and then one final aspect I want you to think about here tonight is the nature of that 70th week. The nature of that 70th week. You know, as we read the description there in Daniel chapter 9, we are reminded of what that 70th week is going to be like. It will be a time of tribulation. That's what it's called in the Scripture, the tribulation period, seven-year period. It's the time that's referred to in Revelation where God pours out the vials of His wrath upon the earth, Revelation 16:1. The whole earth, it will be affected, but in particular, God is dealing with Israel. And we see in Revelation how God will pour out His wrath through a series of judgments. There are the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. God is pouring out His wrath upon the earth. And, you know, we know that even in this period of time that we are living in right now, we are not exempt from trials and trouble. Jesus even warned us about that. You know, in the world, you're going to face tribulations, but He has overcome the world. But this time is a special time of tribulation, unlike any other time. If you are nearby to 2 Thessalonians, let's see, no, it can't be right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. If you look down there, we see a promise that God has given to us. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's actually given in the context of the day of the Lord, back up in verse 2, a reference to the tribulation period. But there's one other promise I want you to see tonight, and this will be the last passage we turn to, Revelation chapter 3. Turn, if you would, please, to Revelation chapter 3. We see a promise that's given to the church concerning this time period of the 70th week. It's given to the church of Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Here we see a promise for God to keep the church from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world. You know, God isn't giving just a general promise here about keeping us from trials and trouble. He's giving a promise about keeping us from a particular time of temptation, from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. And the preposition that's used here, from, can have the idea of out of, from or out of. And we see here a very clear promise for God to keep us out of that particular time of tribulation. I think it's very interesting what Jesus says to this church next in verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly." Seems to me like that's a reference to the rapture. "Behold, I come quickly." God has promised to keep the church from his wrath at that tribulation time period. And so when we think about the nature of that 70th week, it's a time of the outpouring of God's wrath. We see the promises in the scripture directed to the church. God has promised to keep the church from his wrath. And so, where are we for the 70th week? You know, I think we're with the Lord. I think the church is with the Lord. And we see that as we think about the subject of the 70th week. It's Israel, it's not the church. And we think about the beginning of that 70th week and what has to happen for that beginning to take place. Church has to be removed before the revelation of that son of perdition, the Antichrist. And then the nature of the 70th week. It's a time of God's wrath, and God has promised to keep the church from his wrath. You know, I'm making an assumption with the question that I ask at the beginning here. Where are we for the 70th week? Maybe the question that I should be asking here as we close tonight is, where are you? Where will you be for the 70th week of Daniel? You know, the 70th week of Daniel is not a time period that you will want to face. You don't have to face that. You can go ahead and block that off on your calendar. Of course, we don't know when it's going to be. But on God's calendar, you can have the assurance that you'll be with him if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And God has wonderful promise for you. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you've turned from your sin, he's promised to keep you from his wrath. And we see the precious promise that we have of that meeting him in the air, the resurrection when he comes again. So I hope that you're able to answer that question. Where will you be for Daniel's 70th week? And right now is the opportunity that you have to make your plans of where you're going to be. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've revealed to us in your word. We thank you for this study of Daniel that we've gone through. And Lord, we thank you that you have things planned out and that you've given us your word that we can study and how we can see that you've made preparations for us to be with you. Lord, I pray that each one here tonight would have the assurance that they will be with you when that time of tribulation comes upon the earth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our hymnals as we close.